Have you done anything physical today?
Yeah. With the lawn.
With the power?
Yeah.
Forget it.
A little bit more next time. Huh?
Because you are so in such a crucial mental and emotional activity, the two things that is going to level that up, at least put it in perspective, is exercise and meditation, but not meditation alone. Because it's darn near impossible, if you're concerned about something, to expect your mind to behave. Okay. So I would say if you really, really are serious about taking this emotional and mental turmoil in a gracious way, every day investing yourself by running or by doing some exercise that actually is really strenuous. And then right after you come, you take a cool shower and sit down and meditate. And then see what happens. This is just as a, you know, something to help you out.
Okay.
For that, if you want to do that. The next thing is that if you could write in a piece of paper, this will pass. And put it someplace that you can see, whether it is in your car, on the refrigerator, on your telephone. And don't take it lightly.
Just one? all over.
Yeah, but when your gaze goes on and just, yeah, sure. When you look at it, say, wait a minute, this will pass. This will pass. You know, and contemplate on it. And you will see that this will also help to do that. You know, of course, any type of activity, but this will pass. And you will see this time, you will see if you start putting your spiritual money in the bank, you will see that 6 months from now, or more or less, depending on your own letting go, you look back and you say, what a blessing. I've seen so many times like this. You, more so than maybe 1 out of 10 might have gotten to this point later on, but invariably we all get to that. If we replace by coming into the spirituality, whichever way you're doing it, you're breaking certain pattern of your life. Okay, as if you graduated from that. And bear with it. It will give fruit. You know, just bear with it. And make sure you do your exercise and running and whatever. It helps me, and I hope that it helps you. You know. Who can say what is holy? What does it mean, holy? When you say to someone you're holy.
Sacred.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Something that points towards the divine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Come on, Tony, come up with something.
Definition for holy. I don't know if I've ever heard one.
It's like you say to someone you're a very holy man, or I have a holy man in India that guides me and
above.
With God.
Above. One with God. Yeah, reverence for something greater, something bigger, more sublime.
How about you, Lois?
What I thought about when you first asked that, it was socks.
Holy socks.
It's like pancakes. Sorry.
Thank you. Anybody else?
No, when I think about, like, in terms of a holy person, I think more in terms of a person who has a lot of wisdom and has gotten beyond the trivial attachments of what's going on here, you know. Just,
well, to be honest with you, I was in a little bit of a state of surprise my meditation when the definition came. I congratulate you.
Yes, it does have to
holy
do with
means with holds.
Yeah, I was picturing a man with a clothes with lots of holes.
No, it's not that type of hole,
not
but
those
it.
Type of holes.
No, it holy is exactly that, with a lot of holes. When you have a dish that has a lot of hole strainer, nothing stays in it, you know, and the bigger. When you say to someone that is holy, like Mahmud was saying, Lois was saying, this is the demonstration that came in my meditation, which was quite different than normal, but it takes you to the same place, is one that things go through without a stay, without finding a home. In other words, emotion or whatever from outside or from inside, it just doesn't stay. It goes through. And this is, to me, is incredibly good, you know, because how often our senses bring things to our, like, you know, with seeing something that bothers us, hearing something that bothers us, tasting something that's, and then we get stuck with it. Constantly the mind dwells on it and repeats it and brings that imagery of the past. Oh, I was with this person, I did this, I should have not this, done this, maybe tomorrow I do better. A holy man or a woman has so many holes that it comes from here and unbearably from thousands of holes goes out.
Would this be the allegory, like parting of the Red Sea? Opening
yes,
up, so
that's
you
right.
Go through your
that's right.
Barriers?
That's right, exactly, that's it. Or holy socks. And that really makes sense. It really makes sense because when we say holy, then we almost, in our imagery, we build a canopy or a pedestal for that holiness to take its place. But the true holiness has no place. Do you understand? It just comes and goes and gets flesh. And that's something to be inspired to. That's something to be really, really inspired to. And since we are also holy, in a sense of essence, then it's nice to consciously create these holes. Don't let it plug up, like some are showered us most of the time, because we have well water. So it just goes through. So when we do get stuck, this image of having this, all of this opening for it to go out can be helpful to not keep it to ourselves, which can be very helpful when you're going through a stressful situation or unpleasant situation, is to just allow it to go through, get flushed through, and not hold on to it very much. And I don't know a holy man or a woman, if they're genuinely with a lot of holes, that have any attachment whatsoever, because there is so much freedom they experience with not holding on, that will come and go. So that was very unexpected. Yes, sir. Any comment?
So do you think it's coincidental that, in the English language at least, holes and holy?
Yes. Well, it's. I think it was coincidental, but it also was a very, very, not coincidental, because the way Baba does a lot of play with language.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of play with language, and I think that was a very typical of that type of demonstration to come like this, because every word is meaningless and very meaningful. It's meaningless if you think it's extremely important, but it of itself has significant, you know. It's like when we say water has significant because you know that the water would quench your thirst, you know. so it is significant, the name. And yet, in a big picture of things, name is not so significant once you have that awareness. I think I confused God. That's okay. There was another story that came to my mind, a couple of them, that almost cracked me up. And I hadn't remembered or thought about it for years and years and years, and it always comes into my meditation for a certain reason. There was a group of people go to the forest, and a bunch of friends, male friends. They go to the forest, and it gets dark. It's at night. They can't find a way, and they get lost. So one of them said, "It's okay that we got lost. Let's make sure all of us are here." So he start counting, and he says, "One of us are lost because there's six, and they used to be seven." You know that story,
no,
don't you?
I think so.
And so he says to his friend, "One is missing." So they start crying. They're really sad about that. Another one says, "I don't trust you, let me count it." He counts, still one is missing, and they cry even harder. They're frantically looking for an answer. What are we going to do? A sage, a holy man, now we know what holy man means. Holy man was had his hemorrhage, hermitage. Why would I use these words when I don't know? Anyway. So he was in the forest, and he was passing by, and he hears this weeping from these people. So he comes and says, "What is the problem?" He says, "Well, we were seven friends, now we're six." He says, "Let me count." He counts, it's seven of them. He says, "What are you crying about?" It's seven of them. Each person that counted didn't count itself. Okay, it went one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh my God, it's seven instead of eight. Now the story, I thought it was really funny, which you guys didn't think, but I good thing I'm not a comedian. but the significant about it is that, who can say what is the significant about it? What is the moral of the story?
To find the divine within yourself.
Yeah, that's right. We count wrong. We're always counting outside. Never who we are. We are always so involved with the calculation of what's going on in this world, and very little time given to counting ourselves in, you know. And
that's why I was late tonight.
Huh?
That's one of the reasons I was late tonight.
Because you weren't counting yourself?
Yeah. Too busy taking care of everything else.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, that can trap you real hard. Yes, that's when you tear your top symbolically. You don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
say,
I was.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the second story, it shows a little bit of, I'm not going to use that word because the pronunciation is hard, but the silliness of the way we live our life, and of course we don't, some other people do. That was a joke again.
You make a sign when you're
sitting there. When I hold this up, time is
laugh.
Right. There was this lady, a grandma in the house with a candlelight, sewing with the grandchildren in sleep, and unfortunately, she loses her needle. She's really upset, and she looks around. She can't find it. So she goes underneath the light outside in the street and starts looking. Where her son comes home and says, Mom, what are you doing out here? He says, I'm looking for my needle. Where did you lose it? Inside of the house. Why are you out here?